You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Screencast, Kind of Funny's only entertainment show where we talk about movies, TV, and streaming services.
You guys clean this desk, right?
I'm Tim Geddes.
Every day with chemicals.
Cool. That's Perfect. Kevin Coella. Joey Noel's here.
Hi.
And Nick Scarpino just spilled his iced coffee and then tried to slurp it off of the desk.
I think there's new paper towels over there.
This one's gross.
Yeah.
God. You might be wondering why I'm hosting this show today. I'm hosting it because Kevin wanted to be on the panel of experts here to talk about To All the Boys I've Loved Before,
we did
baby.
It, guys.
We did it.
We did it.
We did it.
Spoiler cast episode about two of maybe my favorite movies. You'll have to figure out.
You'll have to find out. But here's the thing. We do this show every week on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can also get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, or podcast services. Just search for Kinda Funny Screencast. If you were to do that, we'd very much appreciate you leaving us some good reviews. The two thumbs up, the five stars, the five fingers, whatever it is, whatever service they got, whatever system they have. It might be three fingers, like Nick Scarpino has.
Yeah.
Make sure you give us all three, though.
Make sure you go over to the Doughberry Brothers store and leave them a bad comment because they haven't restocked their joggers yet either.
Why do you want to fight with people? I don't understand.
I want them to notice me, Kevin. I need someone to witness my life.
Okay.
He's written a lot of letters to all the Doughberry Brothers I've loved before.
Mark. And Aurelius and Maximus and Decimus.
Oh, man. Anyway, you can also go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get this show ad-free or to be able to write in all your little fun answers to the questions that Kevin puts out. Also, you can be a Patreon producer. And boy golly, do we have a lot this month. Patreon producers this month include James Davis, David Mintel, the Mind Freak, Muhammad, Justin Toft, Drew Gardiner, Shiraz Razak, Jarrett Brown, Cassandra Ramirez, Ian Jacobs, Zachary Smith, Joseph Solar, Sean, I'm Brian Fellows. What? Morgan Goranson, the nanobiologist, Frank Furter, Jameson Shafransky, Quaid Burnett, and the Predator himself, Al Tribesman.
Danny boy.
The show is brought to you by our sponsors, Honey, and Spotify presents The Besties. But more about that later. Last week, we did the Sonic Screen Fast.
We did indeed.
Episode of the show.
That was a lot. The butt plug did not arrive in time.
Did not arrive in time, but the butt plug company has reached out to us.
Do we need
to
put
partner? They want to work together. And just see,
I heard
see
that we're
up.
Supposed to put the butt plug on the set anytime Kevin's on the show.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Who took the butt plug home?
Bless it. Anyways, today we are talking about To All the Boys I've Loved Before and To All the Boys I've Loved Before. P.S.
I still love you. XOXO.
XOXO.
There it is.
Yeah.
I don't think those are there.
No?
No.
It's a long title.
XOXO are not there. No,
sure.
To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
Oh, that's really
that's what they called it in Europe.
Did they really?
No.
That would have been amazing. Because no. People in Europe don't get that people think you can make a continuation of a movie series. They don't get it.
They don't?
Right. I don't know. What the fuck are we?
Joey,
I got lost in this joke.
To All the Boys, what is this?
This is a young adult book series by an author named Jenny Han. And then Netflix turned it into these wonderful movies that we have the pleasure of being alive and watching.
So the first one came out, To All the Boys I've Loved Before, came out 2 years ago.
August of 2018.
There we go.
Mostly just because I just looked that up.
Yeah, hey, you know it right off the top of your head.
Yeah, and they, like, I remember seeing a trailer for it and being like, oh, this looks kind of cute. And I was just like, oh, I don't have anything else to do tonight. I'm going to watch this. And then I was totally blown away, and then I never stopped talking about it.
How many times have you seen it since then?
Oh, that's, I don't know.
Like, legitimately, if you had to guess, how many times have you seen the first movie?
I would say like 15.
Oh my God.
Because here's the thing.
Don't ever answer like that again.
I really like the movie, but then I also force other people to watch the movie with me.
Naturally.
So, like. Mm-hmm.
Did you force your family to watch it with you?
I feel like my mom and I probably watched it.
Nice.
Now, here's when I knew Joey and I were going to be the best friends of all time, the greatest friends of all time. Irrespective, that's not the word I'm looking for, totally not for having had it recommended to me from Joey. I'm sitting down and I see this trailer pop up. It's like a Saturday afternoon. Me and Dee are having another one of our we don't want to be a part of humanity Saturday afternoons. Mm-hmm. So we've just gone to Trader Joe's, not talked to anyone, and come right back.
Pulled up the flicks.
I pull it up and I'm like, this looks really cute. In the back of my brain, I'm like, this is really cute, but there's no way Dee's going to let me watch this. And I look over, I was like, and she's like, do you want to watch that? I'm like, this is Kismet, right? You start watching it. And do you remember? I was like, Joey, yeah. I'm watching a movie called To All the Boys I Love. And you just, and then it was just this dot, 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 text, 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 yeah. text. Noah Centineo, no, it's great. This yeah. guy's great. Lana Condor, fantastic. Yeah.
What a dope name, by the way.
Lana Condor.
Lana Condor.
So cool. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's your experience with the Nick.
Yeah, just random. I had no real understanding of the movie beforehand, but the trailer was so cute on Netflix. And, you know, it's like, to me, it's like Netflix has that sweet spot of it could be an endearingly cute kind of Netflix original, or it could be terrible. There's nothing that's ever really in that category that's like phenomenal. So you're like, okay, this is a perfect Saturday afternoon before you're going to go out, or maybe Sunday you're trying to chill and just hang out movie. And when I started watching, I was like, actually, you know what? This is actually very well made. Lana Condor is so fun to watch. She's the most charming thing I've seen on screen in a very, very long time. Until Noah Centineo came on screen. Then I was like, yeah. Fuck you, Lana Condor. You can die in a fire.
Wow.
Because this kid's little scar that he's got on his thing is everything.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Yeah. He needs to be in all of the movies now, Nick.
Yeah.
He should be in every movie.
Pretty much is. So, Joey.
Yeah.
Then there's the third movie coming yes. out. To All the Boys, Always and Forever, Laura Jean.
Yes, that's correct.
What's the deets on that?
I mean, I only really know top level because I only read the first book, but it's about them going into their senior year and then like figuring out like college and what they're going to do and if they're going to stay together and all this stuff.
So to recap the first movie for anyone who hasn't seen it, have you seen it?
Well, before we even get into all that stuff, like, yeah, so you only read the first book.
Mm-hmm.
So how similar do the movies follow the books?
The first one's like pretty similar. The only thing is timing wise, like them getting together doesn't happen until the second book. From what I've heard.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
This is a much better ending.
Huh. And then I know some of the details that they changed for the second one that weren't in the movie, but I liked the movie so much that I didn't want to get that way. I didn't want to be like nitpicky about like.
Yeah. You don't
want to
be Lord of the Ringsy?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they didn't sing in this.
So Joey's been recommending this for so long that it's kind of been one of those movies like, oh, I want to check it out. But every time I'm like, I feel like the pressure on it is too high
mm-hmm.
where I'm going to watch and be like, I don't know, maybe Joey's crazy. And then this weekend I was like, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to watch both movies. And they're very enjoyable.
They are.
I really enjoy them, yeah.
So did you watch them like literally back to back?
Yeah.
Wow.
And like, oh, I gotta say, it's a great way to watch it.
Double
really?
Feature.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when it first came out, I watched it. I watch all these Netflix movies. Like, yeah. And my thing is, I don't think this one's a standout. I think that so many of them are so similar, and Noah Centineo is in all of them, Nick.
He's in
Get out.
You need
three
to watch.
Of them.
You can
he's
leave.
In three of them. He's in three of them.
Yeah, like,
he's
so legitimately he's legitimately carved out a career for himself as being
as
the guy that
he's the
face of the young adult.
Is what
yeah.
they call him.
And it's he's amazing. Good at it. Like that's the thing is like he's he fits this role man. So well. And I do like Lana Condor. I think that yeah. she's a lot of fun. And I think a lot of the actors and actresses
Jubilee,
in this one. Yeah, Jubilee for
right,
from the hit movie Days of Future Past. No, that's not right. It was the next one.
Yeah.
It was Apocalypse.
Yeah,
for 5 seconds.
She was great though.
But then yeah, then the second movie came out last week. And so mm-hmm. I hadn't seen the first one since I first watched it. And I was like, I want to get refamiliarized with this. So I rewatched it and then the next day watched the second one, which I do think is a good way to watch these because it really is a direct continuation. However, there are some things that confused the living fuck out of me, including the post-credit scene.
Oh, yeah.
Where they introduce a character, and then that character never shows up in the other one because they recast him.
Was it John Ambrose?
Yeah, the post-credit scene is John Ambrose showing up to the door with, like, his letter, but it's some, like, random kid.
And it confused the hell out of me because I'm looking at this, and I'm like, I'm losing track of how many boys she's loved before.
Right?
I'm just like, when's that other kid going to show up? But...
So
is
that non-canon anymore?
I think they just didn't know I don't think they thought that it was going to be as big of a hit as it was, I would assume, and just wanted to put that tease in for, like, probably people that had read the books. And then because the movie really did blow up in kind of a weird way, they were like, oh, shoot, we can actually make a second one and that
we get a bigger actor. Probably
yeah, bigger actor.
And I'm glad they did because I like the John Ambrose.
Jordan Fisher. I love him.
Yeah. Who's Jordan Fisher, Joey?
Jordan Fisher. Nick asked me this earlier today.
I was like, "Who's now?" Normally, Tim, if I was like, "Hey, who's James Marsden?" You'd be like, "Oh, he's that stupid idiot face. That played with a stupid face and he played Cyclops." And she gives me. She goes, "Oh, let me tell you, he was born in Kentucky, Alabama."
I
was
like, "What the hell are you talking about?" He does a lot of TV stuff.
Kentucky,
so.
Alabama.
Nope. Yeah. I was hoping I could just slide that past and be like, nobody never saw that
might
one.
Have a city.
But I meant Kansas City, Missouri, but it came out Kentucky, Alabama. Two different states.
We know him from Teen Beach Movie, wow, a Disney Channel original classic. Movie. Then he did a lot of TV stuff that I wasn't super familiar with. He did Grease Live, which is those live musicals that they do
love
on
it.
Network. He won Dancing with the Stars a few seasons ago.
Did.
And most importantly, he was in Until Dawn. He's a really big video game fan.
You know, that it kind of feels like cheating if you're a professional Broadway performer and you go on Dancing with the Stars and fuck people up. But that's awesome.
But he was really good.
That's pretty cool.
Then it's better when other people just win because they're that damn talented.
Hashtag.
Shout out to Hannah B.
Hannah B.
Best bachelorette of all time who won Dancing with the Stars, baby. First place. Let's go.
All right.
I want them to do an all-star season so we can have them both dancing against each other.
We're not talking about that fucking garbage heap called Bachelorette. We're talking about grade A prime filmmaking to all the boys I loved before.
He was also on Broadway. He was in Hamilton.
Yeah, he was in
right
Hamilton.
Now
Holy
he
shit.
Is in Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway.
That's fun. He's got a good career.
Yeah, and then he streams on Twitch and does a bunch of Fortnite stuff.
We
he's
need
like
to get him cool. on this show.
I know.
I want to get him on the
Jordan
show.
Fisher,
and I just want to ask
I'm
him.
I'm sure
what
you're not
Lana
watching
Condor's
this, but if you are, come to San Francisco. Lana
Jordan.
Condor, come to San Francisco.
Come on, let's go.
Come on.
This
Lana.
Is like my dream. Noah Centineo, come to San Francisco.
No,
this
run
is
away.
My dream.
Run away.
No, I'll be honest with you.
Because of Nick.
No, if Noah Centineo comes to San Francisco, I'm leaving with him.
We have cool friends.
That's how it's going.
With everybody,
that'd
bad.
Be amazing. That'd be
so.
Really
to be
fun.
Clear, these are Netflix movies, anyone can watch them on Netflix right now.
The first one is actually free to watch even without a Netflix account.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get
you. They have that post credit scene. You're like, I can't stop now.
They know it's good, man.
I gotta keep going.
It's so fun.
So yeah, let's get into it. What do we think about these movies, Nick?
I love them. I think, we were talking earlier, and I think one of the things I like about them is that Netflix is committing to making all of them their full-length movies. They don't feel like they're too long, too short. But it's interesting because Netflix has the opportunity to make actually decent movies and then make three of them and have them actually tell a cool story over the span of 6 hours, which I really, really like. This, I'm not saying I wouldn't watch it if it was a series, I think it would still work. But I like that they're just we're committing to the 2-hour format. We're going to make three of them. It's kind of, it reminds me of what the British would do with Sherlock, where they're like, we're just going to make three-hour long things. That's the show. This is it. It's a cool way to tell stories that we don't normally get in America. And I think the fact that it's based on source material really helps it. I think the fact that that's a book series that actually is kind of well-crafted. I haven't read them, but I feel like the stories kind of are cohesive and universal because it obviously appeals to a 40-year-old man.
totally.
I think it's good. And I think shout out to the casting director who brought in Lana Condor and Noah and all these kids, because they at first glance, you're like, oh, God, this is just the fucking Maze Runner 2.0 or the Hunger Games. But these, they're actually
yeah.
You know what I mean? This is going to be a dumb young adult thing. Yeah. But they're actually very endearing and very charming. And Lana Condor is just, I could watch her fucking knit a scarf for 2.5 hours, be like, she's just darling. She's just darling.
And
her little
channel.
Outfits, dude.
Oh, she's
shout
dialed.
Out to the bomber jacket. Shout out to the little collar thing going on.
Dee was beside herself with how well they dressed her in this movie. She was like, I want her entire wardrobe. It's really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just I like them a lot.
I love these movies. I think they're really, really good teen rom-coms, which I feel like we didn't get for kind of a while. I feel like we had a lot of them in the 90s with She's All That and Drive Me Crazy and all that stuff. And then I feel like we didn't have, I guess we kind of pivoted more to Nicholas Sparks with A Walk to Remember, where they got really melodramatic.
What's great about these is they're a little self-aware and they're very self-like critical, so that you can tell that it's written from hey, let's try to make these characters as three-dimensional as possible. But it's also a little bit of a critique, or not a critique, but an homage to prior movies like this.
Yeah.
Specifically with, I don't know if you guys realize how this one started off, but I was like, there's no better way to get me back into your movie franchise than starting off with a fucking blatant homage to Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I heard that song, and I was like, oh. I was like, that's the song from Adventures in Babysitting. And then she slides in and starts singing to the mirror. I was like, they're fucking doing Adventures. And then the little sister goes, are you doing Adventures in Babysitting? And I was like, did they make this movie for me? What is happening?
Here's my thing. Shout out to the little sister. I can see people not liking her, and there's one person who shall not be named, but if I, like, for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to name her Gia.
Okay.
All right? Like, let's just say this Gia person, like, doesn't like this little sister. I don't understand it. She's fantastic.
I get it,
the best character.
She's made to skirt the line. To, like, any more annoying, and she's, like, horrible. But, like, they did such a good job. But some people can be more sensitive to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where, like, every once in a while she'll say something, and I'll be like, ugh. But like 90% of the time,
little
I'm fine.
Sisters, dude, yeah,
no, that's
like,
exactly right.
They nailed it. It's those type of relationships that I really enjoy, and I feel like make this world feel a bit more like deserved than some of these other movies, where it's just like they build the sister enough in her relationship with the boys.
Yeah.
That I'm like, okay, I actually really believe this. Like, I understand how they all feel. Although, like, I feel like the second movie was just like the older sister. But she was so important, but she's not even here at
she's
all.
She's in Scotland.
She's but like, at school.
But then the other boy that she loved before.
Oh, Josh, yeah.
Where was he?
Gone.
The neighbor. He was the neighbor.
But did they get back together?
No.
Okay.
No, bro.
Because I felt like there was a moment where she was like, oh, Josh is going to come visit or something.
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
But that boy,
uh-huh.
the neighbor boy,
yeah.
is the boy from Happy Death Day.
Yes,
oh,
he is.
Yeah.
And he's great in that, too. Yeah, good for him. Yeah. He's got a new good series. Go watch Happy Death Day 1 and 2. They're
exactly.
fucking phenomenal.
They're so good.
Yeah. So fun.
I'd put these in similar categories.
Definitely.
Where I'm just like, I really
they might be
him.
In the same universe, and for all we know.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he went to college and this happened to him.
That's hella funny.
Shit. Yeah, that'd be really funny. No, I mean, again, that kid's great. The casting in this is
John
just fun.
Corbett, too, is so fun.
Oh, my God. That guy got...
Is that the dad?
Yeah. How is he still that good looking? What's going on?
I don't know. And I really also like the best friend, whose name I can't remember right now offhand.
There's a moment in this, spoilers a little bit. Are we getting into spoilers in this and all?
I mean.
There's a moment where like the dad has this relationship kind of with the next door neighbor, and the daughters see it, and like and the little girl sends her a Valentine's card. And I'm like, oh, I'm like.
Shit starter,
and in the back of my mind, I'm like, if this were a lesser movie, it would be a fucking problem, right?
Yeah.
But they have that just one line where she's like, hey, I just wanted to tell you like. My little sister sent you that card, and the woman goes, "You mean your dad didn't send me a handmade glitter card?" Mrs. So and so. He's like, "Whoa, I'm shocked." And I'm like, "Okay,
yeah,
it's gonna be smarter than it needs to be."
It does that. That's it does great. That in a good way. It's endearing and like kind of breaks the illusion that it's a movie in like those little moments with like the sister sliding in and being like, "Are you doing that scene from the Adventure of the Babysitter?"
Yeah,
or that, and it's just like it does that so well, and it makes it lovable.
Yeah,
like I feel like the Lana Condor.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
she's just such a lovable character that kind of reminds me like her talking about these letters and how she wanted to like the purpose of them. It's just such a thing of like, man, that's powerful. And it, like, it makes you kind of reflect on like your childhood crushes and kind of be like, I wish I had done that. You know, kind
was
of
the
thing.
Idea for closure originally? I haven't watched the first one in a long time. Why did she write the letters originally?
It's like she had all of these emotions that she couldn't express to them like verbally. So she wrote these letters.
Yeah.
But she never mailed them. And then
They were never meant to be mailed.
She wanted to be reminded of all these emotions she felt, that she was feeling and like how powerful she could be. In that way. And I like that hit me so hard where it was like, oh man, I remember my childhood crushes.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. So top level pitch of the first movie is there's this girl that is in high school and she wrote 5 letters to all the
different
boys. She
keeps waking up every morning after she dies. That's the wrong one.
Yeah. And she wrote 5 letters to all the boys that she has loved before in her life. And it's from things as small as like from spin the bottle incident all the way up to like a current crush that she has.
Yeah, all the way.
Thing
from,
is,
yeah.
She wrote those when
she was
a kid.
She wrote them all as it was happening, put them in this little box. And the current one is her older sister's boyfriend, which that shit gets a little bit dicey, right? Mm-hmm. Then things get crazy when the little sister accidentally, or on purpose for her, mails out the letters to
the boys.
Which
we don't even know that it's the little sister. We just know they get mailed out.
And then that.
Which also was a good setup of like, oh, all this shit's going out to Goodwill. And it's like, how did you put the box in there?
Yeah.
And then later when they're like, oh, no, maybe they didn't. Yeah.
So shit gets fucking crazy. Yeah. And that's the movie. Yeah. And from there, it's just fun, relatable high school hijinks of love and hot tubs, dude. Nothing says high school love more than a hot tub on a ski trip.
Oof, man. I had a hot tub experience after prom one time. It was steamy.
Mm-hmm. That sounds nasty.
I had to clean a hot tub.
God.
I'm joking. I'm kidding about that.
Jesus. Was Matt involved?
No, God, no. Thank God. My brother, you would believe that my brother didn't go. Actually, you would believe my brother went to my prom, but he did not. He was a good 5 years older than me, so that would have been
still
creepy.
None of that.
Yeah. I enjoy these movies quite a bit. I do not think that they are good, and I don't even quite understand why they've kind of transcended beyond all the other trash. And I mean trash lovingly. I will watch these till the day that I die, but I do think that it comes down to there being a book series and a pre-established kind of canon and storyline that they're following, and they are doing such a good job with casting where it's like they have these relatable characters and they're like, how can we make them charming on screen? And and that to me,
and they're
like,
nailing it,
there's that, and they're nailing it entirely nailing it. Like even the dad is endearing. It's like you when
but
he
I mean,
talks,
he's
like,
Aiden,
buy
you know?
Sarah Jessica I mean, Parker should have gotten with him. You know what I'm talking about? That's all I'll
say. It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking.
But she did it at the end. No, you're right. She says Mr. Big.
But there's a YouTube quality to this entire thing.
Well, that's because
it's
Awesomeness
Films,
right?
Yeah, and it's like I can't.
Wait, sorry, who's Awesome?
Awesomeness Films is a YouTube production company. Okay.
So Awesomeness TV.
Awesomeness TV. This is Awesomeness Films. It's the same company.
Yeah.
But yeah, like when they make movies, they call it films.
That's smart.
But it still has that quality of YouTube where everything is colored in this way. Where
the color palette is really cool. I really like it.
The thing is, it's cool, but it's super YouTube. And that's not necessarily a criticism.
Yeah.
It's just apparent and you can't get out of it. And the whole
time, growing up watching
like Wong Fu Productions, which is one of my favorite YouTube channels, I'm watching this. I'm like, this just seems like a bad Wong Fu video. And then the funny thing about that is Wong Fu then just did a parody of it. It's called To All the Kevins I've Loved Before.
Oh, I did see that. I haven't watched it yet, though.
I didn't watch it. I just kind of like hit play on it and watched maybe 30 seconds. And it's hilarious where it looks probably better than the movie. And I'm just like, damn, we just hit this point where it's like,
The lines are just blurred.
And it's like, that, again, not that that's a major criticism, but I do think that comparing this movie to a lot of the other ones feel a bit more filmic. Like, they feel a bit more like actual
movies. You mean the other Netflix original movies?
Yeah.
See, I think that this is, like, 1% better than those, which is why I like them. Like, I've tried to watch I haven't watched all the rom-coms on there, but, like, the one movie I tried to watch that keeps popping up in my mind is the Workaholics guys that did that movie.
The hotel one.
And I was like, this is like a YouTube video. Like, this is like someone who has never shot. They didn't
That's
bother
not the one
to get
with Alexander Daddario, is it?
I have no idea because I got 5 minutes into it and I was like, I can't watch this fucking movie.
I watched that entire movie.
It might be one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I enjoy that movie.
Is this the time traveling photo booth one?
No.
Okay.
Damn, what fucking movie is that? That sounds awesome.
That movie's
the other
fucking terrible.
Guy has Adam Devine.
That's Adam Devine with...
That was terrible.
Like, that was a real movie. That came out in theaters.
That was the Alexander Darwin. No, this is
Netflix. Okay, that was terrible.
So to me, like, what they do so well with this is that they give you sort of a tried and true coming of age teen story, but they do it in a way that's kind of it's creative. So they give you exactly what you've seen before, but just a little bit different, which is great. And I think the quality of it is just like a couple steps above where it needs to be for it to sell it resonate in my brain is like, this is a real movie. Because like this could have very easily been a Hallmark series starring what's her name from Full House? Cameras Cannon Burr from Full House. And like you're like, I don't know how they're gonna recast her as a teenager, but she'd be the mom or something. I don't know. Yeah. Or the
there
next
was no mom.
Speaking on that though, like we're complimenting the casting, and I feel like 99% of the time it's like, you fucking nailed it. Why is the older sister who's just going to college a 40-year-old woman?
She's not in
real life. How old do you think she is?
She's probably my age, 31.
She's like 34.
Yeah.
Is she really?
Yeah.
But
she looks great.
But here's the thing. They casted her on.
She looks great. She looks like an older sister.
She was on Pretty Little Liars, so this is like kind of in her genre of stuff that she's done.
It's just, and it's probably, immediately I'm like, I don't buy this.
She looked, to me, though, she looked Latin and no one else does. And I was confused about that, but like that was the, just like, just put it on the side. Just ignore it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying she looked to me Latin.
I'm pretty sure they like made a point of casting everybody.
Korean?
They're not Korean. They're all Asian American.
Yeah, what's Lana Condor?
Oh, I don't know.
We can look it up. But either way, I mean, again, I like that. I like that angle on it too. That's something I personally haven't seen. Like someone like, because it plays into it, but it doesn't play into it in a way that like that doesn't feel organic. I like in this movie how they're celebrating the mom by going to like the they have the Thanksgiving, and they do they do the thing at the beginning of it. That's a traditional Korean American or Korean.
John Corbett looks at her picture and gets all sad, and I was like,
oh. First off, by the way, I'd have been like, that's a big red flag. I can't date this dude. Like, he's clearly still in love with his dead wife.
And now I'm having, was real cute.
That was really, really cute.
Yeah,
I like that.
Was it not Thanksgiving?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Also, great. Whoever does their signage for the school, really good. I was like, those are lit. Those are dope. No, I mean, you guys talk about the bright, poppy nature of it. I think, I mean, obviously that's a production choice and that's done on purpose. And I think it really, really works for this.
I love it.
Because what it does is it says like, yeah, we're going to get a little deep, but it's not going to go too crazy. And we're going to have, it's going to be fun and it's going to be poppy. And I think all the choices with her wardrobe and all that stuff really kind of just makes this fun experience. That, and then, you know, and this is a shout out to Lana Condor is that, you know, there's some stuff that happens in this movie where if it were not a likable actress, you'd be like, oh, that's
well, she makes
up.
Horrible decisions. Yes. It's like she's not a likable character,
kid,
man.
You know? But it's like,
but I buy
everybody
it.
Does
but
in
but that's
school.
The thing is like, it's they do a good job with that where it's like she's so endearing and does such a good job presenting it that I don't hate her. I should hate her. And like that is the credit.
Yeah. What you do is you empathize with her, which is harder to do. Like, it would be very easy if that was a different person who wasn't as likable or didn't nail the character as much. You'd be like, I don't buy this. I don't buy the ending of this. I don't like that what happens at the end and then she comes out and sees him. You're like, that could have gone two separate ways for me. But the fact that she's so endearing and so honest, she comes across so honest on screen, you put yourself in that situation. You feel like you're going through that with her and you empathize. You kind of go, I get it.
You guys, all right. Mm-hmm. How much did you feel it in your goddamn soul when that bitch took the fucking hair thing and put it on her arm?
Oh.
I was like, oh.
When she took
it. Oh, this is going to hit hard. And then when she does it to Lana, I was like,
it's
no.
It's so heartbreaking.
Yeah, man. That's the most
I don't understand why he let her take it.
I don't either. Do you know, though, that because of this movie, like, it's a thing now with, like, middle school and high schoolers that they wear scrunchies from their girlfriend?
I love that.
It's a this is what I find
cultural
from like
phenomenon, man.
TikTok and stuff like that. But
that's,
I also really love
it. Do you know what we're talking about?
Is that from the first one?
Yeah.
The first
one?
I barely remember it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What
so
happens?
Set, like,
at a party.
Spoilers for a bit of the first movie here. But they're at a party and it's the ex-girlfriend of Noah Centineo, Jen, who was also ex-best friends with the main character.
Awkward. Right.
And she goes and finds him like in the bathroom and like
He has the scrunchie.
He took the scrunchie from her because she came in and he's like, no, you should have your hair down. It'll look cool that way.
Mm-hmm. And he has it and then she takes it.
And she's like, oh, it's my mom's scrunchie. I love it.
After the ski trip, she like shows Lana that she has it.
So for 3 months, she forgot it existed.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah,
it's fucked up.
But like speaking of that, right, like, and we're going to get into spoiler territory here a little bit, obviously.
Pretty much from here on out. It's full spoilers. Like, we recommend watching this movie.
Right.
Go check them out.
We're at the very, very end of the second movie. She's in the treehouse, and she calls someone. You don't know who it is. Obviously, it's done for to build a little drama and tension. And my wife's watching it. She goes, I hope it's the best friend. I hope it's her because she recognized that, like, that was the relationship that needed to be mended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they had, like, she had done something terrible to her female best friend, and that was why she was having all of these problems. I didn't pick up on it. I was like, everything's fine. It's totally great. And the best friend gets out there. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, that's
that
a relationship
moment.
That needs
great
to be.
Moment.
And that was a really poignant moment for me, too, where I was like, shit, man. And it turns out she put the same thing in the time capsule.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. And then it's like sad, though, because you're like, you're probably not going to still be best friends after this because the relationship's irrevocably kind of torn apart.
It's so interesting that this movie does such a good job setting up, like, Jen sucks. Like, the first movie, she just sucks. And in the second movie, we get a little bit more of, like, she sucks because she was hurt by that incident that happened.
Yeah,
and, like, I get it. That's such a middle school thing to happen.
That's a very human thing, right?
Yeah, for people to hold on to that anger so long.
However, she turned pure evil, man.
I mean, that's
kids
do.
Yeah,
but you tell me you didn't do pure evil things in high school?
You can hate that person, but I feel like she's just evil, pure. Like, she's the Emperor Palpatine levels, man.
She's just hurt, and you gotta. Sometimes you gotta take revenge, and, you know, five steps.
And it's like a lot of work to get you to, like, kind of recognize, like, where she's coming from. And I feel like that conversation did a lot for that, of like, it's this character that you are set up not to like ever.
Right.
And now you kind of end up being like, I get it, and I understand.
And also they have the concept of, like, you know, they set it up where I think they do a really good job in this one of keeping your interest because she's going through all these emotions. She's going through all these insecurities. And then when she sees them together, that's like the final straw where she's like, you're never going to not like this person. And it's not until she realizes that her friend or her ex-friend is going through this horrible thing with her parents getting a divorce and she can't possibly understand that. that it humanizes her and really gives her a dimension of like, oh, she's there's some growth there as well. And so it's almost like I don't believe that they're ever going to be like the bestest of friends ever again. But having that one human, like real moment where they're like, I've done something wrong to you and you're also going through this other thing, and it almost like there's so much stuff happening here that I just want to apologize to you for, and having her like be receptive to that and then realizing, hey, at one point we loved each other, we were friends.
Yeah.
And it's and I accept your apology and that's it. That's all it's gonna be was mm-hmm. really cool. But then there was like there is that high school shit of like who brought the pizza? And it's like, why didn't I bring the fucking pizza? You know? And it's like you remember those stupid petty arguments that sometimes you're still having to this day.
Oh, but like,
you know,
she was hiding information. Mm-hmm. Like she was acting like they weren't friends.
She was hiding information from both of us.
She has that moment where she's like, it wasn't until I saw both of them that I realized this is a terrible idea. She was like, oh my God,
it's
why would I do this?
It's those little asides that are so good and makes the character so lovable.
She's also in an adorable pink coat.
Oh my gosh.
That will coast.
All of her costuming is so good in this movie.
Really quick, I forget if you guys brought this up, of like the build up to like them having that human moment together. I loved because the way they frame it, because Alyssa had seen it already and she's read the books. And it was one of those things where you only see the text message. You don't see who she's sending it to, of like, can you meet at the treehouse? I'm like, fuck, who's she texting? I don't want it to be Jordan Fisher. I want it to be my boy Noah. And then it like totally left turn of like, no, let's have this like moment between us. And it was like, oh shit.
That was
really
a cool
that.
Moment that where like flips your expectations, but at the same time immediately makes sense. Where you're like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah. I didn't like the woman character, the one from Legally Blonde.
Oh, you didn't like her, Stormy?
It's like an inappropriate relationship.
Bro, she's getting that dick in that fucking...
Okay, so I will say... I will say, in the book, Jordan John Ambrose is supposed to be Stormy's grandson, which is why he ends up at Bellevue. And I wish that they would have kept it, because I feel like it would have made way more sense as to why they were there.
That could have worked.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked her. She's, like, eccentric and, like... had fun. I don't know. I think she's fun.
Dude,
she was too much of a movie character where it's like people don't exist.
That's
like
what
this.
Holland Taylor, that's what her name is.
Yeah, she was great. I'm with Kevin on this too, where she was like, she's such a good actor, and it she did feel a little bit out of place where you're like, this is like a fairy tale grandma character that you would introduce in here.
Yeah.
And also this place they're at, I'm like, this is not how old people are, man.
No.
They don't have this much fun.
It's crazy. I was like looking at all the furniture like, oh, I like this.
I know. I was like, I'd move into that room. And when they go to her room and it's like a fucking 1,200 square foot room, I'm like, I would move into this place.
The walls, the way she has it painted, it's like,
was gorgeous.
Let's take some pictures. Write this down.
I literally, like the only thing that threw me off was it was called Bellevue, which I swear to God is the name of an insane asylum in something.
That sounds right.
Doesn't it? Bellevue? Like when you say Bellevue Hospital, doesn't that... I swear to God there's a fictional work where it's like that's a crazy, a loony bin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't either.
But
before
anyway.
We continue, let me tell you this episode is brought to you by Honey. Online shopping is supposed to be easy. So why is it so hard to find coupon codes that actually work? Thanks to Honey, it doesn't have to be. Ain't that right, Kev?
Yep.
For many, many years, Kevin and I, and Joey as well,
yeah,
we're kind of funny. I've been using Honey. It's this extension you use in your browsers that any store you're going to, it automatically just pops up some coupon codes to giving you the best deals you can possibly get for whatever you're trying to buy. Kind of Funny has saved thousands of dollars. I feel like I've personally saved thousands of dollars from Honey. You just set it, you forget it. Next thing you know, you're saving money. The best thing is you don't even need to like apply it per site. It just automatically happens. And there are over 30,000 sites that they're using with this. It's unbelievable how easy this is, because I set it probably 6-7 years ago, and I just don't think about it. It just automatically does it, and it scans a whole bunch of things, gets you the best coupons. You can choose which ones you actually want to use, because sometimes it'll give you different options of, like, you can get the percentage or the free shipping or whatever. It's fun stuff. We've been using Honey since the first time we were sponsored by them. Recently, I bought a second round of Kevin bought a second round of Pottery Barn teen Harry Potter bed sheets. Teen. Wait, I didn't read the teen
part. It is. It's kind of upsetting that it's all on
I don't care. I'll buy it from wherever. You got Harry Potter merch.
Hold on. What do teen bed sheets mean? Like, why?
It's from Pottery Barn teen.
It's a sub. It's PB teen.
Okay.
It's a sub, like, subsidiary of Pottery Barn.
But the bed sheets, there's no difference. They're still sheets, right?
I know. I just want to throw that in there.
Well, anyway, he got 20% off of these teen sheets. Honey has found over 18 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Not using Honey is literally passing up free money. It's free to use and installs in just two clicks. You can get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/morning. That's joinhoney.com/morning. Next up, I want to talk about Spotify's The Besties, one of Andy's favorite podcasts of all time. You know, we all love all things video games, so That's why we're telling you about this show, The Besties. They talk about video games all the time. Every Friday, the creators of The Adventure Zone, Justin and Griffin McElroy, are joined by their two best friends and hardened video game reporters, Russ Frischtick and Chris Plant, to go deep on a single new video game. If you've been a fan of Polygon, you'll know these guys. They co-founded it, and Bam Bam and all the other stuff around that. You guys have heard us talk about this so many different times. The Besties cover all the major moments in video games in 2020, from the new console launches to Cyberpunk 2077. But The Besties can't do it without you guys. You get to write into the shows and all that stuff, and it's free on Spotify. There's nothing better than free. You can find all your favorite podcasts on Spotify, including this, the Kind of Funny Screencast, and all Kind of Funny podcast, but you can also get The Besties exclusively there on Spotify. Listen to The Besties free only on Spotify. Back to it. I was a little disappointed we didn't get a post-credit scene.
I was
on the second
too.
One.
Because we know, at this point, we know we're getting a third.
But I don't know that there's anything huge to like allude to.
That's really funny, because watching them back to back, like, I'm happy I didn't get a post scene on this one. Because, like, the first one, it was, like, immediately, like, what the hell is going on? And then we go into the movie, and it's like, oh, okay, more's happening with that. But, like, I wanted to, like, let it settle and give me some time to, like, just be like, they're happy. They're having a good time. Everything's good right now. I don't have to be stressed about the next movie yet.
The first movie having a post-credit scene and it being what it was made me like that movie 100 times more
than I actually did.
I mean, I do, but especially, like, good ones where it's, like, that feeds into the story structure so well, where it immediately makes you go like, okay, we solved all these problems. This is, you're on the football field, and it's like, oh, we're petting out, it's all good. It's like, no, everything's fucked. You're all fucked. Love is a lie.
And I think that's why they restructured the books.
Fuck it, I'll do it myself.
The book storyline for these movies. Oh my gosh. Because they wanted to have, like, if this was going to be a one-off movie, they wanted to have closure to it. And then they could have some tie into a sequel. Hoping.
Oh, they left the door open for sure. What I'm excited about is the idea, what you explained for the third one, right? And what's cool about this is, like, you're sort of getting the three-act structure of high school. The beginning where you're like, oh, you got your first love. That this one really is about that middle of how do you negotiate and navigate the actual the intricacies of having that first relationship and dealing with the knowledge of kind of in the back of your head that, like, hey, this guy's a little bit more experienced than me, but also this is like a first love and this is not going to last forever. And like, I always find that so fascinating of like, because, you know, when I was in high school, you know, you date people, but you're like, this can't last forever. And I remember,
did it feel that way?
For me, it did. I remember thinking
pretty unique.
Really? Because I just remember thinking,
in high school,
like,
I feel like everyone's like, we're in this forever, man.
I feel like you have outside people telling you that, like, this isn't really
well.
How it works.
But I always had an older brother who was in college. He was like,
older people change.
My brother was like, dude, come on, you're gonna go to college, it's totally different, right? And like, and I even had the relationship, and this is what I'm excited about for the third one. I had the relationship that went from. I dated a girl from high school into college, and I saw how that dynamic shifted very, very quickly when she went to a different school and I went to a different school. And all of a sudden, it was like we have nothing in common anymore. And all of our relationship was built around like being in theater in high school together. And now that we're not there, we're just two separate people going two separate ways. And that's what I'm excited about, to see the third act of this story play out. Of like, there's something so kind of faded and romantic about having that the sunset years of your high school career. And being like, our lives are forever going to be, like, there is nothing we can do. There is an end point to this. It's going to stop, and our lives will be irrevocably, like, changed forever just by nature of graduation.
But maybe they go to the same school and everything's fine.
Maybe. And that's
maybe
possible.
They go to neighboring schools in the same city.
Maybe he goes,
you know?
Maybe he goes to,
God, I hope so.
Maybe she goes to Harvard and he goes to fucking
MIT.
Fullerton.
Someone on a lacrosse college.
Is that near Harvard? Yeah, right?
MIT?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
MOUSC?
Mass. They're both all in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's – but I love that time, right? And it's the time that's always so bittersweet whenever you watch a high school drama, like a high school TV show, where you're like, eventually these motherfuckers have to graduate. Saved by the Bell, the college years was not as good as Saved by the Bell, the high school years. But eventually it has to end.
I'm excited for the next movie. But like, I think I'd be excited – for a continuation afterwards too, where it's like, I think that like Netflix doing what it's like, I don't like.
Should it be called To All the Boys I've Banged in College?
Jesus,
oh my God, yeah,
that'd
dude,
be amazing. I'd watch it.
I don't think that's not really.
And I want it to be like looking back from the future, and it's Ali Wong.
Yes,
oh my God,
that's the future Lana Condor.
Fuck yes, Netflix, watch this.
Oh, that's great.
I love it.
I would also, so we're entering the streaming wars now, right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, cool, we got Netflix, we got Hulu, we got Disney Plus, and all this stuff.
Clone Wars.
Here's what I want to go down. High School Musical, the musical, the series continues. Mm-hmm. This finishes out. Then, crossover series. Disney Plus and Netflix teaming up for the greatest cinematic event of all time.
Oh my gosh.
That's not how we would describe that.
Lana Condor, dude. She has the singing voice. We kind of got a hint of that. Yeah, she wants to be the lead.
Jordan Fisher.
We got, this writes itself.
It's so great.
Have you watched this yet, Nick?
I have not. You know, so I tried to watch the original High School Musical, which
recently?
I did not. Maybe like a year ago, because I think it was on Netflix or Amazon.
Sirens on Our Own.
And I was like, oh, it's Zac Efron, Vanessa Hudgens. And I was like, oh, I'm going to love this because I love those two actors. And I didn't realize it was like made for TV.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is difficult to get through. So I just stopped, full stopped there.
Yeah, I don't know if that would have been one I would have recommended.
Yeah, I like my Zac Efron best in Dirty Grandpa. That's my favorite Zac Efron right there.
Not like Neighbors?
Neighbors was good, too. Yeah, okay. I mean, he's just a charming, lovely, lovely.
So you just like him anywhere?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Anywhere but singing.
I love him in, what was it?
Greatest Showman.
No, the one where he was in movie. With, no, where he goes back and he plays a young Matthew.
Oh, 17 again.
Yeah, 17 again. Great film. Great film.
That's really good.
Joey, I mean, you know, we're going off topic a little bit here, but with High School Musical, the series,
all right.
We got the trailer for season two. How are you feeling about this?
I'm a little bit upset that they're not doing High School Musical 2.
I could not disagree more.
And I
Beauty
get,
and the Beast, baby. Let's
go. So here's
the
thing. I get that they want to branch out from doing High School Musical stuff because that obviously has an end cap to it with only having three High School Musical movies. But High School Musical 2 music is so good. But I'm excited
just wait
to get more
three.
Of it.
Do I need to start from the beginning on this stupid thing?
Yeah.
No, but
you can watch it without.
If you like these movies, you got
to
watch this.
You don't
can
even
I
have
just
to
watch the series, though?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So I can just start with the Disney Plus series?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, cool.
I can attest to that. I've never seen any of those movies, and I had a really fun time watching that
but
show.
But then I feel like someone's going to be like, well, you just don't understand
no,
fucking
there's
industry.
Like,
because you didn't watch
the
Zac Efron.
They use the High School Musical stuff so minimally.
He's the one that always.
No, he's going to be so excited you're in.
That's fair.
I want you in.
Speaking of shows, I just want to give a shout out to a show that has another amazing High School Musical, Sex Education. The second season ends with Romeo and Juliet, like an intergalactic space musical version of it, where everything is dick tentacles. Because the girl that is, it's all about these hypersexualized like high school kids trying to figure out their sexuality, and one of them's directing the show. But it's like fucking crazy, and vaginas and dicks everywhere. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it.
It's my type of life.
Oh my gosh, so
big
good.
Fan. Big fan. Any closing thoughts on this All Out Boys business?
Definitely watch it if you give it a chance. If you have a significant other, sit down, order yourself a round table pizza with extra red sauce, and just watch the shit out of both these movies. They're delightful. they're delightful. They're actually well written for young adult, and I think they have themes that appeal to older people as well. And you know, you'll remember your first love when you watch this, and it'll be very endearing.
Speaking of the writing, something that I did enjoy a lot is their use of swear words, which I think was minimal enough, but like it felt realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And like I like that we're just at a point that we can see high school kids talk like high school kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're so rarely, like this movie wouldn't have existed in theaters in the 90s or 2000s being able to like get away with the things that they say in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it crosses the line and is like, egregious, but it just makes it feel much
accurate.
More relatable, much more accurate, much more real, and like the way that these characters kind of talk to each other. For the most part, I'm like, I buy it. You're actual high school.
It's not
kids.
Like Dawson's Creek where you're like, who the fuck wrote this? Of like, doesn't make any sense. But I agree. I really like the music that they use in all of these too. Like, it's really good, and the fact that they use Blackpink when she's like getting ready to go to the lacrosse game,
fucking Blackpink,
which is like
dude.
A
keeps
big
coming up
K-pop.
Everywhere.
Keeps coming up. The Flash, big fan of Blackpink.
Blackpink, really? Yeah, from Blackpink. Justice League. Oh. Yeah, he was playing the video.
Wow.
Yeah. And then shout out to Netflix, right, for giving them enough budget to actually go out and get decent
actual
music.
Here's my thing: the licensed music is great. I downloaded the soundtrack on Spotify.
Hell yeah!
I've been jamming. Sophie Tucker, shout out to you. But the score is trash.
It's trash.
It is generic ass.
I haven't even heard it.
That's the YouTube level stuff where it's just like, it is so like corny ass, like sitcom stuff. Like, what are you doing with this, man?
Yeah, I only care about the soundtrack stuff because even
the soundtrack
really good.
Is legitimately dope, but you can tell it's like all the budget went to licensing stuff, which is probably
that's
a
great.
Smarter
yeah,
call.
Yeah,
that's
what you do.
But it just makes it feel cheaper.
I mean, they started off, I forget the name of the band, but they started off with that song from Adventures of Babysitting.
Oh, yeah.
That was a very popular song back in the day. So.
Yeah.
Can't imagine that was cheap to get, but good for them.
Closing thoughts, Kev Dog?
I really enjoyed it, and I'm very excited for 3, and I really hope it doesn't end with them breaking up, going to different schools, because it's going to break my heart. Unless they somehow make a fourth one where it's like now they've all explored stuff, sure.
Yeah, what's the name of the woman that wrote the books?
Jenny Han.
Jenny Han, you can use that title if you want to. All the boys I banged in college, go for it. Write it. But I want to write the foreword. That's all I want. I write the foreword.
Oh, man.
Ask me what the foreword would say.
What
would the foreword say, Dave?
It would be me recommending a movie called The Duff, which is another great young adult movie that I fucking love. It's so funny.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's great.
Out now on streaming platforms. Netflix, we got Starship Troopers.
Ooh, yeah, great Paul Verhoeven movie.
There we go. Amazon Prime, we got a new Amazon original series coming February 21st called Hunters.
That's the one where they're hunting the Nazis.
The Nazis. Yeah. It's with Al Pacino. Hoo-ah!
As a Jewish Nazis.
Man.
Nazis.
Hulu, we have Super 8.
Yeah.
Oh, so you want to watch that? Super 8.
Solid.
You like
never saw it.
It's fine.
Joey, you weren't here last week, but
it was him ripping off Spielberg.
What's that Bernadette movie?
Where'd you go, Bernadette?
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question before he continues. You watch The Expanse?
Yeah, just so much.
Okay,
I remember someone else, The Expanse is so goddamn good.
I was listening to another review where people were like, if you want to see really good deep sci-fi, watch The Expanse. I think I'm gonna get into it.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. On Amazon? It's slow, and they throw a lot of Amazon Prime. They throw a lot of information at you, so it's like you're gonna get in there and be like, what the fuck are they saying?
Yeah.
But you learn that like, oh, that's a derogatory term for someone that like was born on an asteroid.
Because I'm wading through Picard right now, and I'm liking it less and less. Unfortunately,
really? Yeah. Oh, I'm waiting for it to all come out. And then just
it's an overly convoluted plot, and it's very much like it's where I feel like the intricacies worked well in Discovery, because they had those like one-off episodes that kind of built like their bottle episodes, and then they went back to the main plot and everything kind of built in itself.
Yeah.
This one just meanders for the first 3 episodes, and I'm like, oh man, I'm starting to lose faith that this is a good series. Damn, I know it sucks.
The Expanse though has a lot of information being thrown at you, so you got to sit there and pay attention. But it's worth it. It's very Game of Thrones-y in the sense of that, like, something is happening in the background, and you got to really try to figure it out, and it's crazy.
I'll watch it.
Out in movie theaters near you, we got The Call of the Wild, a.k.a. Harrison Ford is old and likes dogs.
He does.
Hates Star Wars, though. Hates Star Wars.
The Force Ghost quote?
Yeah.
No.
Someone was like, USA Today did an interview with Harrison Ford, and was like, hey, in Rise of Skywalker, are you a Force ghost or like a vision or something? And he goes, I don't know what the fuck a Force ghost is, and I don't care.
Okay.
I absolutely love it.
A question for you, Tim. Who hates their franchise more? Does Harrison Ford hate Star Wars more than Robert Pattinson hates Twilight? Or the other way around?
It's a different type of thing.
Yeah, nobody hates as much as Robert Pattinson hates.
I don't think Harrison Ford hates Star Wars. I just think he's completely ambivalent to it. I think he just doesn't care about it. I think he realized back in the day that's what launched it. Because you have to remember, Harrison Ford, out of all of the original actors,
has an actual career.
The best career by a fucking mile. Yeah. By a wide margin.
Shout out to The Fugitive.
Where, like, you know, Mark Hamill, God bless him, did a lot of great work. But, like, Harrison Ford's fucking Indiana Jones, The Fugitive, fucking Jack Ryan, fucking Get Off My Plane, Air Force One. Are you fucking kidding me, bro? He doesn't give a shit about Star Wars. That shit was years ago.
Can we do that?
I want to do a live trailer reaction right now. Because speaking of out on streaming platforms, this is a TV show coming up on FXX.
Okay.
Don't even know what channel that is.
That's the one where they only play The Simpsons.
Is it like FX2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. We're getting real deep. But the show is coming March 4th.
Oh,
it's called Dave.
Yes.
Starring Lil Dicky. I haven't seen this.
Is it related to the
movie,
Dave?
Let's check it out.
No, I doubt it.
I hope so.
Great movie, though.
Dude, I know, right?
This is the one. I love this one. Beam me up, Scotty. I'm going in there and I'm going to make dreams come true.
Can we restart this?
Please don't kick the chairs.
I didn't kick it. You have chairs in the middle. Dude, this is the one. I love this one. Beam me up, Scotty. I'm going in there and I'm going to make dreams come true.
Please don't kick the chairs.
I didn't kick it. You have chairs in the middle of a room.
You need to wear glasses like you used to. You're a lot cuter then.
Turn the mic on.
I love this. This is great.
I'm all in.
This is great.
Little Dicky in here. Little Dicky.
Little Dicky. Holy shit, man.
Why you call yourself Little Dicky? You got a Little Dicky?
It's never even grown at all since I was a child.
You realize that I'm dating a rapper who I've never heard rap out loud? Will you rap for me right now? Oh my God, rap for me.
Look. No.
YG, Lil Dicky.
What up, man? Good to meet you.
What's up? I'm calling because I'm about to access my bar mitzvah money and I thought you should know.
Are you crazy? What, David, you haven't made a single dollar off of this.
I can't profit off of it because it's not my beat. It's just a beat I stole online.
That's you
I can't
stole
even...
it? Wait a minute, what? Did you steal it?
Oh my God.
Kids, look at him.
I'm a once in a generation artist who just got verified on Twitter.
I'm glad you feel good.
Oh, that's him. That's Aaron Santino.
I look like the back of a card.
He's fucking everywhere.
The swag ain't on you, it's in you. Like, what is that, Peach? You got a lot of heart for wearing that color.
Great.
How exactly would you describe your brand?
Imagine like what 2090 is like, but it's being described by someone who's from 1920.
Okay. Like this?
Do you believe me as a rapper? Ooh, ooh. Testing. All these rappers in here popping. You talking about, hi, my name is Dave. You should be like, what's up? It's Lil Dicky. It's gonna be the biggest name in hip hop.
Well, this is weird.
It's not weird. Everyone does this. Dude, are you sick? I'm Lil Dicky. Yeah!
Oh,
are you sick?
Come on.
Kill this shit. What are we doing, straight face smile?
Man, take the piss here.
You took a little dicky thing. Appreciate that.
Nah, that's some gang shit.
Gang shit. I'm doing crip every time I do a little dicky thing.
Oh, fuck yeah, Hulu.
Oh, shit.
You know, right. Watch it.
Let's go.
That looks really good.
Yo,
I have FX.
That looks great.
That speaks to my core.
I could be mistaken, but I think one of his friends or whatever is like one of the kids from Odd Future, and that excites me a lot.
That's awesome.
This looks great.
Hell yeah.
And
man.
Good for him.
Good for him.
If you don't know who Lil Dicky is, fuck off.
March 4th is what I remember. Yeah. So
it's week to week release, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Next week's bronze topic is what are you watching? This week's bronze topic was give your review of All the Boys I've Loved Before. But y'all motherfuckers didn't watch it.
We also changed the schedule around real quick.
But next week's topic is what are you watching? Let us know. Write in. Leave your questions, comments. Get those concerns.
Is anybody watching McMillions?
No.
By the way,
McMillions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started last weekend.
Oh, it's so good.
Are you familiar with this?
Mm-mm.
Apparently, you know the McDonald's Monopoly game that they did in like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Apparently, there was one. The FBI figured out there was like one family that just kept winning it, and they're like, they're basically like there was three people that won it, and that they originally discovered, and they were like they were all related, and they said they do the odds, the actual statistical probability of that happening is like winning it. One person is like one in a million. The second person in the same family winning it is like 1 in 150 billion or something like that. Yeah. And the next one's like 300 trillion possible. And they're like, there's no fucking way these guys did this.
That's awesome.
And it's like there's a crazy ass conspiracy shit happening.
That's real good.
It was real. Really happened.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever think we could crowdsource it? You know?
You could.
We could win it?
Yeah. You had to go.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I know.
There's no way.
I'm saying, like, reach out there.
I feel like we go the opposite way. We brute force it. Just only eat McDonald's for every meal.
I like
it. All the time.
I like this. Let's do this.
That was just me and
that's policy.
We had so many railroads, but not the last one.
Yeah. Exactly. No one ever got it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today for this beautiful Kinda Funny screencast. Ladies and gentlemen over there, thank you for being a part of the show.
Thank you.
Until next time. What's your sign off on this one?
Go watch and I'd say some movie. Like
go watch some movie.
Okay.